hands. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, yalalamani. Oh, yalalabasunalalabasuna. That's all right. He kana yadadadadabahondadadadabasuna. Hallelujah, in this atmosphere of faith right now, how about you speak to your chains, speak to your sickness, whatever it is right now, speak in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, every addiction must be broken in the name of Jesus. Every sickness must be healed. Come on now, pray for yourself. Place your hand where it's pain. There's pain and pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we release healing. In Jesus' name we release deliverance. In Jesus' name we release the glory. Oh, come on, we're not moving on from this. No, we're going to let God do everything He wants to do today. So whatever you need to do to get a hold of Him, if you got to bow down, come down to the altar, run, dance, whatever you got to do right now, the presence of the Lord is here. The glory of God is here. Anything can happen right now. Anything can happen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. If you're struggling right now to get connected, why don't you go grab a hold of somebody that is connected and worship the Lord with them. Lord, do what you want to do right now. Do what you want to do right now. Change us, God. Change us, God. Speak to us, God. We're here for you, Lord. We're here for you, Lord. I don't know who I'm speaking to right now, but I hear the voice speaking and saying to somebody, come on home. Come on home. Come on home. Come to me. Come on home. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful we allowed our Sunday school to stay for just a few more minutes to enjoy the presence of God with us. How about we settle this with some praise right now? Would you clap your hands for a moment? Thank you, Jesus, God. For the outpouring of your presence, Lord. For speaking and ministering in this house, Lord Jesus. Lord, your presence takes precedence. And Lord God, we give you liberty in this house. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. God bless. Our Sunday school can be dismissed right now. And if you'd like to be seated for just a moment, let's not remove ourselves from the presence of God or, just allow that to go. But let's just remain sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. Just a couple things I'd like to say before we bring up our speaker today. If you did not get one of these when you came through the door, you should have got one with your bulletin. But if not, please get one off of the welcome booth. This is a monthly calendar. It has all the events of the month, but specifically it has the details of our extended fast that we are doing in the month of September. If you've been here for a year or 2 years or anything like that, we've been doing an extended fast every year in the month of September, really since just about the beginning of the church. We call it Power 21. Which means 21 days of prayer and fasting, and we are just seeking for the power and the presence of God. Hallelujah. We already know it's here, right? Hallelujah. So we are going to be joining together in unity to pray and to fast. I'm not going to go through all the details. You can look at the calendar to see it. I will just point out three things, three aspects of this fast. It is a progressive fast, so the first 4 days is one thing, then it moves to a week of removing something else, then a week of removing something else, then we end it the last 2 days with liquids only, and then we end it on the 21st day when we come to church, and we thank God that we can eat again, right? Hallelujah. But no, we come to church, and we believe that we will see the hand of God. So it's a progressive fast. Consider your dietary needs. If you need to change it, absolutely, based on your own dietary needs. I'm diabetic, type 1 diabetic. I completely understand having to fit that into a fasting schedule. So just be aware of that. Be careful what you're doing. While I say that, at the same time, let's join together in unity, right? And let's attempt to do this together as we go through. It is also a media fast. During the 21 days, we cut out all media. So we turn off the TV, we put down any video game controllers or on your cell phone, we let go of social media, all of those things, YouTube, try to stay off of YouTube unless it's watching preaching or something that's spiritual, something where God can use it to minister to you. The point is we're just trying to cleanse, right? I was talking to my coworker a couple days ago about the benefits of fasting. They say that fasting, then this is just in the world. They have recognized the benefits of fasting because it is considered a cleanse. Well, that's what we're doing in those 21 days physically, but mentally we are doing a cleanse. Now, I don't want to worry about, you know, who just got engaged to who, right? I don't want to worry about, you know, what's going on in politics or anything like that. I want to cleanse my brain, my mind of all of those extra things and just focus on God for 21 days. That sounds pretty incredible to me. And while doing that, we recognize that might be a good chunk of your week is sitting in front of a screen or looking at your phone. So we've provided some suggestions, some things that we encourage you to do. Every day of the fast, we will be reading at least one chapter in the book of Acts. I'd encourage you to do this. We try to do it with our family every evening. We sit around the dinner table. After we eat dinner, one of us will read. Maybe we'll take turns reading. But the point is that by the end of the 21 days, we will have read the entire book of Acts. Again, that's just a great benefit. So replace all of those things with spiritual activities. Don't just sit around talking about how bored you are. Pray. Read your Bible. Come to church and participate. We've got extra fellowship opportunities. The Friday night, the first Friday night on the 12th, we're going to have a family game night. No screens allowed, right? We're just coming. We're going to play board games together. We're going to play card games because I believe one aspect of fasting, especially a church fast, is that we come together in unity. So we're going to spend that evening just having fun with one another, wholesome, godly fun in the presence of the Lord. Then we will be doing an extended prayer meeting on the 26th. That's the last Friday, the second to last day of the fast. We will be doing an extended prayer meeting. Ignore your schedule. That is a mistake. It is not 6 o'clock. It starts at 7, and we will go for 3 hours. I know everybody's saying, oh, me, oh, my, 3 hours of prayer. That's a lot of time to stay focused. But what we do, rather, is we do 15 minutes of preaching, 45 minutes of prayer, 15 minutes of preaching, 45 minutes of prayer, 15 minutes of preaching, 45 minutes of prayer. So we have breaks in between, and we've got ministering that will be done, teaching that will help to lead us into a new aspect of that prayer. And it's always powerful. Again, we've done this for many years. It's always an incredible night. We encourage you to come to that. I wanted to take time. This doesn't start tomorrow. This starts next Monday. Everybody say next Monday. So not tomorrow, but the next Monday after that, we want to get you prepared for it. The worst thing you can do is last minute decide to join a fast. You want to start preparing your mind, your heart, your body in order to go into this fast so that when it comes, you don't just say, oh, well, you know, I didn't really commit to it anyhow. You want to settle it in your heart right now what you're going to do. If you're going to need to change it a little bit, settle in your heart now what you're going to change it to and stick with it and be committed to that fast. I believe it's going to be a blessing. One more thing before we bring up our speaker. I got a testimony. Can I testify real quick? Hallelujah. We had an incredible thing happen in our home this past Friday. And I had to wait until they left. But you know, we pray for our kids, and I made that statement Wednesday night. It seemed like it really impacted them. I talked about how much I wanted my kids to know the Lord, and they were in here when I was teaching, and I talked about how much I want them to know about the oneness of God and the Bible. Well, and my daughter she's an incredible person, but much different than my son. My son dove in right away. My daughter's just sat back, and we try to encourage her to pray, and she goes the opposite way, and different things like that. So we've had to just raise her a little bit differently, trying to just be an example to her while not forcing her, different things like that, just trying different things. Well, Friday, my son, who is just an evangelist at heart, they decided together he was going to teach her a Bible study. So my wife, I didn't know anything about this. My wife texts me a picture at some point during the day. They were sitting down, just her and him, and he was teaching her a Bible study. Well, that evening, we had dinner, and everybody kind of walked off, was doing their own thing. And all of a sudden, we hear another Bible study. And William and Rebecca was there. And of course, again, don't let them know this. Well, of course, we kind of snuck around the corner and listened in, and it was just so encouraging. This is why we raise our kids in the church, right? And we bring them to church, and we teach them the Word of God. My wife talked about how this event, when she was a teenager, it just sparked a prayer meeting. Friday night, it sparked a prayer meeting. We thought they were done. We walked into the kitchen, started talking to my daughter, and then we hear weeping in the next room. My son was in there just crying and praying out to the Lord. It led to an incredible family prayer meeting. We walked in there and we started praying, and God did great things. And hallelujah, the Lord's working on my daughter, and the Lord's doing this and that. Hallelujah. Listen, I can never be more proud than to see that right there. I pray it for every family. Hallelujah, for every child, for every adult. Oh, praise God. When you're just ready for a move of God, I want revival in my home, and it's happening. So right now, how about you stand to your feet? How about you just pray for it in your home? In Jesus' name, we pray for revival in my home, among my children, with my spouse. Hallelujah. If I got other people living with me, in Jesus' name, we pray, God, bring that impromptu revival. Bring the presence of the Lord. Bring a conviction of your word, and let the Holy Ghost fall in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. If you could remain standing, I'm thankful for Brother Victor, who has been faithfully ministering for many, many years here, and his testimony. And I'm thankful for him coming and letting the Holy Ghost use him to preach and minister. How many of you can open up your heart and mind and say, Lord, whatever you want to do today, do it through me. How about we welcome Brother Victor with a hand clap of praise unto the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Isn't God wonderful and worthy? I have learned a long time ago that you got to keep focus on what God is doing in your life. And I thank God that I've been given an opportunity to bless you with his word. And I thank Pastor, and I'll be quick. I'll give you the verse. We'll read it real quick because there's much to be said about what God is doing. He is wonderful, and he's worthy, and he is in love with us. Even though we fall out of love with him, he still loves us. He still gives us an opportunity to come to him, and I thank God for that. And I thank God for the opportunity he has given me to preach and minister unto my grandchildren, unto my family, because a long time ago, and most of you know my testimony and what God has done in my life, and I shouldn't be here today. 8 years I've been worshiping and loving God, but also learning what the testament means, what God has done in my life, what he's doing around me, Oh, he works in such a mysterious way. He's great, and we don't deserve it, but he's made it possible for us to spread his gospel, to spread his love, to spread his forgiveness, and to enjoy his mysteries in this world. Praise God for that. I'm going to go straight to the Bible, Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Hallelujah. Or verse 13. Hallelujah. What a wonderful spirit that we feel in this place. Jesus is worthy. Hallelujah. It says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living." Lord, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the strength that we feel. Help us to use and be blessed by your countenance, by your blessings, by your word, by your anointing. Father, help us to take it home. Help us to use it according to your will. We worship you, Almighty Savior, for there is none like you. Thank you for your word. Bless it into our hearts. Change us. Change our minds and our spirits. Let your will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Again, I thank my pastor for being obedient and requesting that I speak today. I told him I didn't want to a while back, that I wanted to sit back and watch God do his work. I didn't explain that to him, but I don't need to. When God connects with him, God lets him know. Don't let him sit idle. But we need ministers in our lives that way. We need people in our lives to stir it up, to tell us, don't be comfortable. Don't sit down. Don't watch the world go by. Don't let God's spirit go by. And that's what's so wonderful about the word of God. In this prodigal son, the parable about the prodigal son, God opened my eyes to what had happened a long time ago. And let me share with you a timeline. In 1985 through 1990, I lived in sin. I gave my life to the enemy. I signed in blood a contract that I would become his servant. There's a lot of people in the world that don't understand that Jesus can break that contract. The blood of Christ is powerful, a lot powerful than our blood. So Jesus came into my life in 1990 and told me, listen, I've got something for you. I tempted the Lord because I didn't see the Lord in things that I was doing. And so I told God, if you're real, prove yourself. You don't ever want that to happen. I'm not saying that that's okay to do. I'm not saying go home and do this at all. Please, do not try this at home. The thing about the world, the thing about this generation now, we're a long ways from those days. Trust me. There's a lot more technology out there. You can find out different things a lot quicker. And it's all lies from the enemy. Adam and Eve were tricked. So this guy, this enemy of ours, has been practicing how to fool us for a very long time. So we need to take advantage of what God has given us, and that is his word, his testimony to us, how to reach him. So in 1990, I turned my life around and gave it to God. I was baptized in Jesus' name. I spoke in tongues, received the Holy Ghost before I even were baptized. The enemy was on my heels, and death was knocking at my door. And I have overdosed. I have done a whole bunch of things back in those days, and God told me no. And when you give your life to the enemy, he's wanting to take your life. That's all he wants. He wants you dead because nothing can happen. You can't say nothing from the grave. So I thank God that he gave me the opportunity to speak his wonderful message. And in 1990, for 2 years, I was in the church. And of course, God was trying to show me something. He said, bury your nose in my word. Don't watch what's going on around you. And I was disobedient. A lot of this flesh was still alive in me. And I gave the enemy some more room. And of course, he came with a vengeance. And in the church, there was things that happened that took my focus off of God. I had an accident. I lost my job. Then somebody tried to take my children away. Then somebody sold the house that I was in right from underneath me. Had no place to go. And all this happened within a couple weeks, within a month. And I didn't have a place to go. And so I didn't want to leave. But I remember my pastor at that time in Palm Beach, Pastor Kyle. He told me, well, he didn't tell me, but God has a way of talking to us through the man over the pulpit. He said, don't leave. Whatever you do, do not leave. You will lose everything. And I knew it was God talking to me, and I just couldn't take it anymore. There was just too much happening, too many negative things happening. And I didn't get into the word. I didn't pray. I didn't do what God was telling me to do. And so I left. So from 1992 to 2017, which is 25 years, I was backslid. I lived the life of the prodigal son. But in 2017, about 8 years ago, I asked God, I can't live this life anymore. I went back into sin. I didn't sign my soul over to the enemy, but I knew he was there. And I knew the enemy was knocking on every door that I went to. My family, again, there was people I was losing left and right to sin. And I allowed it to happen. But I tell you right now, this past 8 years, God has shown me in his word how to retrieve what I have lost. I get into prayer. I ask God, he gives. I get into more prayer. I ask and he gives. I read the word and I pray. And God continues to bless. I can't seem to get away from the blessings anymore. Because God has blessed my house, my family. He's given me so much more than I can stand. And I don't even know what to do with it anymore. But praise and worship his wonderful grace, his wonderful peace. I love him for what he does. 8 years of that now. And it's so prominent in my life. And I want to share with you, it's available to all that are here right now, that God gives with a great abundance. Hallelujah. So let me continue to read in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. The beginning of this parable, Jesus was speaking about the prodigal son. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Thank you, Jesus. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Hallelujah. For this is my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Hallelujah. I thank my God who never gave up on me, who allowed me to walk back into his presence. It was something that I had to do for myself. To find my God, to find my Father, to allow him to accept me as a sinner, to be forgiven as a son should be forgiven. Hallelujah. What a wonderful God we serve. He is worthy for all praise and worship. How many times have we failed him? How many times have we walked away? How many times we depend on our own knowledge and our own understanding? Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for your forgiveness. Hallelujah. God is incredible. He knows who we are. He knows where we're going. He knows where we've been, and he knows how to change our minds. He puts obstacles in our way. Jesus is worthy. He is King of all. He's not beyond your circumstance. Oh, hallelujah, how I thought so many ways that I had figured it out. God was always there to tell me, not that way, not that will. Praise God for that. Not by my own understanding. Hallelujah. Jesus is awesome. In verse 26, or actually, let's keep going. Verse 25, chapter 15. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. How many times we walk away from our father, and it's no longer safe. And the sounds around you are nothing but sin, nothing of hatred, nothing but laughter, because you left the Father. You got to remember the sounds around you. They prevail for this world. They do nothing but stand in the way and give you doubt. Hallelujah. God is there to be safe, wanting to provide you with safety. Hallelujah. Verse 28, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and let thou never gravest me a kid, a sacrifice he was talking about, but gavest me a kid, that I might make memory or merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. Like I said, so many things have been happening in the miraculous. They might seem insignificant to some people, but because God has brought and called me out, he's shown me certain things. Our walks, if we allow it to be God's way, and if we're found out of the darkness, like I said, don't go out sinning. That's not what I'm promoting here. But there are things that this flesh, this unique walk that I have with God, needed to see, to understand, because I doubted God was even an existing king, a living God, a loving God. Because at 8 years old, I was left at the altar wondering why God wouldn't fill me with the Holy Ghost, why I wouldn't speak in tongues, why my preacher dad wouldn't baptize me. Because my dad knew I wasn't seeking God. And I left the house of God like the prodigal son did. But not once, but twice. And I thank God that he showed me how to walk the walk. That I had to open the door and go into the closet and ask for forgiveness and to be shown the way. And then I was baptized because I understood that I had to repent, that I had to ask for forgiveness. I was no longer 8 years old anymore. I was 19 going on 20, and God blessed me. And I thank God for how he showed me in the word to accept him and only him. But I hadn't learned yet how to walk and not watch what was going on in this world. The enemy deceives us. Like I said, just in the same way Adam and Eve were deceived because they stopped. They stopped walking in the presence of the Lord. They were wondering what was going on with this tree. I thank God that he helps us to understand in the Bible, the knowledge. How to use the knowledge of that tree. How to be blessed. When he blessed Solomon, Solomon wrote in this word in Proverbs how we can overcome. How we can allow God to work in our hearts. How we can ask Jesus, show me the way. Show me how to change. Show me where to go. Show me how to open my eyes, because I'm blind. I see the world, but I don't want to see the world for what it is. Hallelujah. We were doing a Bible study on Thursday. I went up to the counter. We were finished doing the Bible study. And I asked for a refill. Hallelujah. I thank God for witnesses because Brother Aaron was there. He saw it. He was there at the Bible study. Thank you, Jesus, for the Bible study. We were allowed, Pastor, as he was telling us about his son. We need to teach. We need to show. We need to bless those with the word that don't know the way. Thank God for his word. Hallelujah. So I went up to the counter and I asked for a refill. This is how God opens my eyes. This is how God works in my life. And I pray it on everyone that you see the small details in your life. See the small little impact messages God gives you. Because the enemy does the same thing. He tricks you to think that he's in control. And I thank God that he, God, who created every circumstance, every situation, every scenario, God has made it possible for us Christians to see that. God-fearing people. So I look over because the kid is in panic. He's pushing the button. He's pushing the button, and it won't stop. It just keeps flowing and flowing. And he's looking at his boss. He's looking around. What do I do? What do I do? And I take a gander over, and I see the cup is overflowing. It's overflowing. And God's allowing me to understand what we're doing in the kingdom of heaven. He's overflowing with his word, with his power, with his truth. He's allowing it to flow over. And I thank God that he's given me that vision and that understanding. That was Thursday. And I know it might seem insignificant. It might not seem, you know, all glorious. We want thunder and lightning and lights coming, turning on, flickering on and off. We want to see great mysteries open up, you know. Heaven's the doors opening up by themselves. I mean, come on. Jesus had told, you know, those who are looking for those type of signs and wonders are a perverse generation. We can't be looking for things like that. It's God's way. It's God's circumstances. It's God's understanding. And we have to be turned into what God has created us to be. It's worshipers. When you see these things happening, worship him, thank him, lift him up. He's wonderful because he's created that. He's blessed us. He's changed us for a reason. I thank God for my pastor to give me this opportunity because I did not want to come up here and just give some bland story about what God has done in my life or for some bland story that goes on in the Bible, because nothing is bland about this Bible. Nothing is insignificant about the Word of God. If you take it for what it is, it's meat. It's truth. It's valid. It's sustainable. It's wonderful. And it'll save souls in this world. People need to hear the Word of Jesus. This prodigal son, this story, it's a wonderful testament for who we are and why we need to change. Just today, my granddaughter came in and she says, check this out. What was it? I call him my favorite son-in-law because he's my only son-in-law. I love him and I know God's working in his heart. But he's cooking a feast, and my granddaughter brought a couple of pieces of meat. Now, you could say, oh, what a great man. Yeah. But what a great message. She didn't bring just meat. I knew to turn it down because I was bringing meat. I was bringing meat from God. This is what sustains us. This is what changes us. This is what gives us power over this world. And I thank Jesus for that. I thank Jesus for the prodigal son. He is wonderful. He is worthy. And in the Word of God, remember these things. Because these are how we should live and why God created us. In Matthew chapter 22, hallelujah, verses 36 through 40. There was a man who asked Jesus, what are the greatest commandments? And Jesus answered him. In verse 36, the man, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. He said, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What a wonderful, wonderful word from Jesus, the Son of Man, the loving sacrifice, the Lamb, the one who died for our sins, the one who gave up this world to be with God, hung on a cross for us. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Every morning should be a testament that he gives us love. Hallelujah. It's one of the greatest things that God has blessed all of us with. A way to love. That was the sensation. That was the presence. That was the anointing. That was the Spirit of God that we felt this morning. It was his love. It's so pure. It's so clean. It's so loving. We should wake up in the morning and loving him, holding him, putting our arms around him like the father running to him, to his son. We are nothing but dust. He put breath in us. Praise God for his love for us. Hallelujah. I think about how evil I was. How evil some people around me were. We don't sit around asking God to bless those, our neighbors. Sometimes I wonder why. Weekend passes, Monday morning comes, and I'm reminded why. They know not what they do. God bless them. In Jesus' name. You got to remember, in that commandment, you love them as you love yourself. And if that, Jesus said, is as important as the first one, that you love your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your spirit, why should we falter in this world and not love our neighbors? They sin, but guess what? We're not without sin. I want to testify about how God came into my life 8 years ago. And opened my heart and mind and reminded me of when I was 8 years old at the altar. I went to a church. I was looking for God. And everything in my life hinged on this moment. Remember, it's about detail. There's small things that happen in our lives that we don't understand. But this particular moment, this particular revival that I went to, God spoke to me directly. Because the pastor that was preaching, see, there are certain circumstances in our lives that we fail to realize what God is trying to instill in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirit. But there was a man preaching that day, and he preached the day that I walked away from Jesus at that altar at the age of 8. See, this man was a pastor's son. And he said at the age of 8, he went to the altar. God didn't fill him with the Spirit, and he walked away without the Holy Ghost. But he did what I didn't do at that age, and I didn't have that understanding. And if you're struggling to find the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to go home and get into your prayer closet. Because that's what this preacher said. And I didn't do that. But I guarantee you, that day I did. I went home and I went into my prayer closet. 25 years when God filled me with the Holy Ghost, I didn't have the clear understanding of what the Holy Ghost meant. But when I went home and I closed that door 8 years ago, I got the clear understanding of the Holy Ghost. Because for 2 years, I was going through withdrawals from alcohol, drugs, and I was on the couch shaking. And I listened to that pastor, minister. I was 8 years old, went home, and I got into my prayer closet. And that's all that stayed in my head at that time. And I stayed in the prayer closet. I was tempted, but God said no. And I thank God that he was there the whole time. Because during this sweating and shaking and feeling my heart pounding so hard, it felt like it was coming out of me. And God said, you're almost there. The flesh has to die. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm with you. Shortly after that, I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Started speaking in tongues. And I was elevated into another atmosphere and allowed God to fill me and to anoint me and to change me and to strengthen me. And I started reading the Bible and I started worshiping and I started reading and studying and learning more and more about the Bible and understanding all the prophets, understanding the kings, understanding what the flood, the promise, the just so much impact in the Word of God. And of course, you know, the first sin, man, you know, it just, the first sacrifice of God, created clothes for man. So he had to kill a lamb. I didn't know all these things. And I thank God that he gave me the understanding and clarity of what it meant for sacrifice. What it meant for what we're about to do is sacrifice on this fast. We have to understand that we need to gain something out of this. That we can't go in half-heartedly. That it has to be wholeheartedly. And I did a Bible study with my brother Bob in the nursing care facility yesterday. And he said that he had fasted and then he got sick. But it didn't happen directly after the fast. And it was a minor fast on his behalf. But what's so powerful about it is that he sacrificed. He's not a man of many means. He's an elder man. And it's hard. It's harder, especially for an elder to fast because they have to take medications. They have to stay on a certain diet. And so when he sacrificed, he knew he was taking a chance. For us who are healthy and are able to walk around and do things that these older people can't do, God expects more. Jesus wants us to do more for his kingdom. And if I'm going to close with this verse, if we can stand. I just want you to know that God's in control. In Psalms chapter 139, verse 13 through 6, it's a wonderful way that God works in our lives, but we have to have this understanding that we're created for a reason. But He is the Creator. He's the Creator of our circumstances, our reasons, the love that He gives us, He shows us. It's all from Him. In verse 13, hallelujah, it says, "For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." Jesus was there from the beginning, in our beginnings. "I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in countenance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." In Jesus' name, we are made in His image. We are blessed. As the prodigal son returned, we should return to His presence always, knowing that He created us in our mother's wombs, that we were blessed and changed by His wonderful hand and His wonderful word. What a wonderful God who created the earth, who said, "Let there be light," created you and me. Hallelujah. He is worthy. We sit back sometimes and we get lost in our own emotions. We look around at people that don't do right. They're hypocrites in the church. But we fail to look at what we should be doing. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to show you the way to love your neighbor, to love your brother and sister in the church. We need to know, and if we need to talk to one another about a certain circumstance or a certain situation, go in love, with love. God will give you what to say. God will give you what to not say. God will tell you to be quiet if you have to, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. See, we need to give Him all the glory. Give Him all the wonderful worship we can give Him. Lift Him up when He is awesome about it. He's patient with us. Look at this old sinner. And He's blessed me with His word and anointed me with the understanding and allowed me to preach His word to people, to other souls. If it weren't for me, who else would be there? I don't lift myself up. Trust me, God can find somebody else. But don't let it be somebody else. Hallelujah. That's what I'm here to tell you. Let it be God in your life, guiding you, showing you. Let the overflow have its way in your life. Let it change people around you. Let it love on those. Let the Spirit of God that's in us, that dwells in us, let it bless those that are in the world that are lost. Jesus, bless this place. Hallelujah, Father. Let's close our eyes. Let's ask God to bless us. The altar's just open.
He is done. It's wonderful to have our guests with us today. I didn't mention earlier with Sister Camille and Devante. God bless you. Wonderful to have you with us. Yes, praise the Lord. And my friend over here, hallelujah, God bless you. Wonderful to have you with us again and joining with us. And Praise the Lord. We know that God's doing great things. I can't wait to see what he does next. Praise the Lord. Revival's here. Praise the Lord. It's just the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It's nothing I can do, nothing you can do. We just come here and be open and worship, and the Lord's going to do it on our behalf. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Please, please keep in mind, 2 o'clock, we are to be at the R.D. Copa Nursing Home. 2 o'clock, please come. We're going there to be a light to the residents there, to worship for them, worship with them, lead them to worship. We're going to have preaching. It's a shorter service, maybe about 45 minutes long maximum, but it's still just a blessing. We'd love, love, love for you to join us over there, especially if you live in Port St. Lucie. This is in Port St. Lucie, and we'd love for you to join us. All right. One more time, how about we just pray? Let's pray for the group that's going to the nursing home, and let's pray that God would bless us as we leave. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord, please bless the team going over to the nursing home. Bless and anoint Brother Aaron, who will be preaching there. Lord God, the singers and the musicians, Lord, and just everybody who's going, that they can shine the light and spread the Spirit of God in that resident home, Lord. We thank you for everything you did today. Send your angels charge over us to keep us, Lord God, and bring us back again, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say Jesus. Oh, you can do better than that. Everybody say Jesus. God bless you. We are dismissed in Jesus' name. Tell somebody you love them before you leave.